Hey everyone, it's Amy Lynn Durham, and you're listening to Create Magic at Work. Create Magic at Work is on a mission to equip senior leaders with tools they need to be a true quantum leader and actually understand what that means. Improve employee engagement, retain top talent, and transform your workplace culture to have less drama and stress. So let's start making magic. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Create Magic at Work. Today I have a very special guest that I invited to be on the show. Her name is Rebecca Eigen. And this is interesting for all of you leaders out there. You're going to be like, why did Amy have her on her podcast? And you're going to find out, and it's going to be very beneficial to you. So Rebecca is a seventh house astrologer, which is the relationship house on your astrology chart. And she also has studied shadow work for years. And a portion of my book for the workplace, Create Magic at Work, has coaching questions in it that help you access some parts within you as a leader that you might need to work on to become a better human and to become a better leader. In season one of the Create Magic at Work podcast, I had Raven Shambhala guest on the show, and she was one of our most popular guests because she talked about relationships and if venting at work or venting about work could ruin your relationship at home. And so I thought, wow, people are really interested in these topics, of course, because it's love, it's your personal life, it's really a big part of being human on the planet. So as a special treat for everyone, I invited Rebecca on to talk about a lot of these themes. So Rebecca, welcome to Create Magic at Work.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited you're here.
Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. Do you want to add anything to the initial introduction? Can you maybe tell everyone a little bit more about yourself and then explain what the heck shadow work is for the person driving to work today that's like, why is Amy talking about shadow work on her workplace podcast?
Sure. Well, I'm an astrologer, but I specialize in relationships and marriage, and the ancients called our seventh house, which is the marriage house, the house of open enemies. So our partner will have to suffer to become our enemy if we don't learn about this part of ourselves. So we tend to project parts of ourselves onto our partner initially, and that is the attraction. And when I learned about shadow work in the 1990s, I was astounded because it was easy to go back into my own life and my own relationships and see how it had manifested. So I started studying astrology, specifically using Carl Jung's work of analytical psychology to merge the two of them together to help people facilitate having a better relationship with each other by learning about their shadow. And you know, you ask me, what is our shadow? Our shadow is everything about us that's unconscious. It's denied, it's repressed, it's hidden from our awareness. We don't know about it. So initially, when we fall in love with somebody or when we see somebody across the room, there is a part of our unconscious that has jumped out onto the other person. It's energy. We are energy. And what's so fascinating about astrology is it can actually show you the part of yourself that they are carrying for you until you learn to be like that, till you integrate it yourself. So it's very cool. I thought it was. And so I wrote a book about it. It's called The Shadow Dance because it's a dance. You need another person to do this. You can't do it by yourself.
I love that. The Shadow Dance. So one thing that I learned about shadow and the unconscious initially when we talk about shadow work, I initially learned it was something that you see in others, like you just said, that you've repressed in yourself or you don't recognize within yourself. And I always thought that it was the negative aspects. Oh, this person gets on my nerves so bad. I can't stand the way they do XYZ. And it's like, that you're seeing something in them that you aren't recognizing in yourself and that you need to shine a light on with that. What I love about what you are sharing is there's also these beautiful, magical, positive things that you have within yourself that you might not have recognized either. And when we're talking about relationships, think about the first time you felt that crush or fell in love or felt those intense first love feelings. And I think about that even with my boyfriend today, when I first met him, how strongly I felt for him and his qualities. And now, you know, 3 years later, after talking to you, I'm like, oh, so all of those beautiful things I loved about him, I actually have those within me as well. And what were those things and how can I recognize those? So I wanted to comment on that. And so now I want to take the turn to leaders in the workplace with their team. How can a leader recognize when a team member is, whether they think a team member is super great or whether they think a team member is not doing well and getting on their nerves? How do they know if that's true or how do they know if that's shadow? And maybe you can elaborate on some real stories from your workplace or from your past where you learned in those moments.
I actually can give a personal story about this because I had a coworker that came to work with me and he was a long-term friend and he was a really good friend. And we had worked together for many, many years on different projects apart at different studios. We would work internally in different graphic design studios because I'm also a graphic artist. After a while, when he came to work with me, he actually came to work with me and my partner, Trish. When I give him directions on a project to work on, he would constantly leave something out. So for the sake of meeting a deadline, I would redo it for him. I would fix that issue on the project. And after about 3 months or so, it started getting on my nerves. That how could he not hear what I was saying? And I would try to say it again. You know, you need to do this, 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 and this. And I try to be more specific. But it was really giving me a charge. So here's the number one thing you're going to want to know. Is this person giving you an emotional charge? Are you getting super annoyed? Because that is a real clue that something has gotten projected. But of course, I didn't realize that immediately. What ended up happening was one day he did something and that was it for me. And I was like, that's it. I can't work with you anymore. And I told him, I said, I've tried to explain to you what I need and constantly you're leaving things out and I'm having to redo your work to get our deadlines met. And I'm getting so annoyed with you that I just can't work with you anymore. And he left that day and he felt really bad. And I felt bad because he was a good friend of mine. But I told my partner, Trish, I'm like, I can't work with him anymore. Did you see what he did? And she said, yeah, I can see it. So the very next day, my Mac was having problems booting up. And back then, this was like in the early 90s, like say 95, around then. Back then, the Macs had extensions and you had to make sure all these extensions, whatever, were working. Well, I couldn't get my Mac to come up normally, so I called my Mac tech and I said, this is what's happening. And he said, Rebecca, I'm going to tell you, but this time, would you please write it down? He said that to me. And all of a sudden, it hit me. Oh my God. I have been projecting my own inability to follow exact directions every single time or even remember what they were. And I've projected all of that onto Richard. I'm perfect and he's not. And so it was a perfection thing because I had this issue about perfection. And oh my God, I felt like, wow. So I called him and I said, Richard, would you please come over? I think we need to talk about what happened yesterday and resolve it in a different way. And he said, yes. And so he came. And I told him what had happened. And I said, I've been projecting my shadow onto you. we had just been at the beginning of learning how to do shadow work when all this happened. We were just starting to understand that if you are really annoyed and it pushes all of your buttons, there's something about you that you're not seeing. And as soon as I was able to see that, he said, okay, well, I will be much more careful. You know, I will be much more careful. And I said, and I will too, and we'll be fine. And what I want to emphasize about this experience was all of the negative feelings were gone. They were gone. I'll never forget that because I was extremely annoyed by him. I was repulsed by him. It gave me a huge charge. So when you're working with other people and this happens, especially if it starts to repeat, if you're in a business environment where you're seeing a lot of people and you have a lot of people working for you, but this keeps repeating, I am of the belief now that we are energy and that everything is energy. So what's inside is outside. You know, the ancient alchemists had this statement, as above, so below, as within, so without, which showed the synchronicity of how things that are occurring in our environment are a part of us. It's remarkable when you can look at it like that.
That is so remarkable. I think about in my corporate work environment with some of my old colleagues, like what that would look like if they sat down and said, hey, I need to tell you, I've been projecting my shadow onto you. Like, I don't know if they would be able to have a conversation like that. However, I feel like this is cutting edge talking about this in the workplace. And you don't have to use that language, but recognizing. So I want to dive into, you know, let's say someone's cleaning their house right now and they're like, oh my gosh, this team member I work with just totally gets on my nerves. I can't stand working with them. When you say that things repeat, what repeats? What's the repetitive thing?
Well, the characteristic or the quality. The characteristic or the quality that is annoying you will start to repeat. For instance, I had at the very beginning of all of this, when I started learning about this, I started teaching workshops. I started teaching classes. And a girl came to one of my classes and she had left two high-paying jobs because both of her bosses were hypocrites. So she was able to see that there was a repeating pattern. And when she came to take my workshop, she said, I'm about to leave another high-paying job because my boss is a hypocrite. So this is the third time. And from being here at your class, I even have a testimonial about that on my website. She gave me a testimonial because she said, I really get it now that I have this part of me, maybe not at work, but I had to go into myself and see where am I being a hypocrite? And this is how you can find that part of yourself. You just take the characteristic. You don't have to tell the person anything. Mm-hmm. You can just say, okay, where am I being? For me, it was perfectionist. For her, it was hypocrite. Mm. And she was able to see she was being a hypocrite in her family life in certain ways. And that was just reminding her of a part of herself. So she didn't leave that job and she was able to learn to tolerate and accept her boss, accept herself. And as soon as you can accept yourself, it dissipates all of the negative energy. Mm-hmm. You have to accept that part of yourself.
So in that particular instance, she worked for multiple jobs where she kept saying her leaders were hypocrites. And that's a pattern. That's an emotional charge she was getting. Like you said, the sign, there's an emotional charge. There's a repulsion and there's a pattern. And so once you recognize those three things, then you can say, what is this trying to tell me about myself? And it might not be in the same space. It might not be in the workplace. You could be experiencing this pattern and exhibiting these qualities, maybe in a different space besides work, like at home and vice versa, right?
Yes. And actually, you know, often when the universe is trying to get to us, it will bring it to us from different areas. It will bring it to us from different areas. The unconscious is vast and it works with us. Mm-hmm. if we will work with our unconscious will work with us. And, you know, to me, that is probably the goal that Carl Jung brought to people, is that we have an unconscious. There is a part of us we don't know. I'll never forget when I first learned about that. I was reading his autobiography, Memories, Dreams, Reflections, and he was talking about finding and discovering these parts of himself. And I went, oh my God, no wonder I said what I said the other day. I thought to myself, why did I say that? Who inside me said that? Because I didn't mean it like that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all caught ourselves saying, why did I say that?
Yeah.
And the unconscious will jump out and say it for you. So that's another way to see a shadow quality.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different ways to see our shadow and to see the parts of us that are unconscious. And I think it's especially beneficial at work when you have to work with a lot of people. You have to recognize we're all different. We all have different ways of doing things. And to accept, not only accept differences, but to see that if you're really, truly annoyed, if you're getting a huge charge, if you have to fire that person, it might be a good idea to go inside yourself first and ask, what is it that you want from me? What is it I'm not seeing about myself?
Yeah.
And then wait.
Are you a passionate, high-achieving executive at the director level or above who feels like you've lost yourself? Are you feeling called to go to the next level of your leadership? Could you benefit from going beyond EQ and deepening your spiritual intelligence so you can solve your everyday problems to make better decisions for yourself and your team while maintaining inner peace? I can help you tap into your own inner magic and elevate your leadership in my private one-on-one coaching program. To apply to work with me, click Work with Amy in the show notes or go to createmagicatwork.net and click Work with Me. I look forward to seeing you.
Where in my life am I doing this? What does this experience want from me? If there's a huge emotional charge, I think that's a great caveat, because sometimes you do have to let people go if they're not performing, if they're not productive, if they've been held accountable, et cetera, et cetera. But I think for me, thinking back to leadership and all of the employees I've managed, if there's this extreme emotional charge tied to it, it's time to maybe, where am I doing this in my life? Where am I exhibiting these behaviors? What does this experience want from me? Because I've had leaders that just want someone off their team. I mean, you know, in casual side conversations, because they just can't stand working with them. Yeah, it's just, but they're not really doing anything that's like an HR violation that would warrant a termination. But it's just like, I literally cannot deal with this person. And so when you say, wait, well, I could think back to some time, like, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? What do we look for? How do we do that?
We're waiting for the unconscious to give us a message of what's going on. I want to read to you a quote by Carl Jung that's on my website that I think is really valuable. And it's brief. It's from the book, Civilization in Transition, The Undiscovered Self, Present and Future. Most people confuse self-knowledge with knowledge of their conscious ego personalities. Anyone who has an ego consciousness at all takes it for granted that he knows himself. But the ego knows only its own contents, not the unconscious and its contents. People measure their self-knowledge by what the average person in their social environment knows of himself, but not the real psychic facts, which are for the most part hidden from them. So I think that there has to be an acknowledgement that we don't know everything about ourselves and that we want to learn about ourselves. And that's where, you know, when you bring the falling in love thing into it, you project parts of yourself onto that person and you see them as extremely kind, or they are so giving. They give their shirt off their back to anyone. And then your best friend will tell you, you're like that. Don't you know that? Oh no, I'm not like that. You know, you don't see some of the qualities that you see in another person in yourself, especially if you're putting them up on a pedestal. If you're putting a halo effect around them. So in the workplace, that happens too. where we put a halo effect on a person and they can do nothing wrong and we are crazy about them and we just adore that person. Well, that's shadow projection as well. That person is also something about yourself. So it's about learning about self-awareness and seeing more about ourselves. And, you know, Carl Jung believed that self-knowledge took place over a long period of time, that you did it till the end of your life, even. So nobody knows their whole self. That's what we're doing on this planet, is learning about ourselves.
Yeah. And the journey never stops.
Never.
And I think it's so important for me, you know, my personality. I want to get to the thing. I want to get to the end. I want to get my prize just from, you know, I want to win. But it's this constant reminder that there's always going to be a new learning moment. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so we could practice acceptance with that. And then Brian McCormick, he was a past guest on the show, he practiced the pause and see what comes up, which is really hard. How do we practice the pause when we're triggered to see what the unconscious wants to show us? What are some things that you can describe what the unconscious shows us if we practice the pause so we can kind of know how to identify it, I guess?
Another story that happened with my business partner, Trish, was that she would do things that I found repulsive. Like, she would carry crumbled business cards into meetings. She would also like chew gum out loud. And she had hair all over her clothes because she had 12 dogs that she was breeding and raising. And after a period of time, you know, those things were annoying to me. But I had started doing shadow work. So I sat her down at the table and I said, you know, these are some of the things that are bothering me about, you know, I wasn't telling her about her clothes and all that, but I was just saying to her, you know, these are some of the things about you. And these are the things I'm doing. I would really like your feedback. I would like to know what I do to bother you. And we started up a dialogue. And it didn't mean that either one of us was going to change overnight. You know, some things are idiosyncrasies. But what I did was, by sitting her down to talk about it, that helped open up the dialogue instead of like with Richard, which was like, go away. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. You know, and the fact that she was like, I'm willing. Let's do it. So we sat down and I was more extroverted and she was more introverted. And I told her, if you can't tell me, write it down. I want to know, you know, how can I change anything if I don't know? And so little by little by little, we started to do it. And within a year, I mean, it was amazing. It was so cool. And then those little idiosyncrasies, things like her chewing gum out loud or having hair on her, you know, clothes or whatever that bothered me, I would see them and I would go, but I like this, 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 and this about her. And I would let it go. I would literally change my own mind, which is called having a metanoia. It's like you change your own mind. It was a discipline. As I did it on a regular basis, whenever she would do anything, like, and the other thing was I started carrying her business cards with me. If she put out a crumpled business card, I would just pick it up and put a clean one down without saying a thing. So we were like, you know, there's this television show a long time ago. Do you remember which one I'm talking about? It was like these two, The Odd Couple, right? You're younger than I am, but there was a television show called The Odd Couple. Well, we would laugh at each other because we were like the odd couple. That's how different we were in certain ways. And we got to where we laughed about it. You know, we just kind of like point fingers and say, you're doing this again, or start laughing, and it would just dissipate it. It wasn't the hard, oh, I can't stand you. I don't want to be around you. No, we got over it, you know, and we grew to love each other. And worked together 5 years until she decided to go start a dog kennel with all those dogs. That was her passion.
I love a lot about the story you just shared. I love the safety that you had with her to be able to have the conversation in the first place. I love how this is a deep topic, but we're having fun with it. But really what we're talking about is acceptance of others.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how we are all one. We all work through these things. What is in you is in me. What I see in you is in me. And having a sense of humor about it and not taking it so to this level where you're so emotionally charged, it's affecting you. I love everything about it. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom on this topic. And then the other takeaway I really have is pointing out the positives. And you can use that in your personal relationships, right? When your partner is, I mean, you're the partner, you're the relationship expert. You know, when your partner is getting on your nerves, it's like, what do I love about them? What do I love about them? I love all of these things about them. And if you can continue to do this internal work, how cool is that? That you don't have to be emotionally charged anymore, but you can laugh when you see these things in each other. I mean, that's healing, right?
And what was remarkable too was that she quit chewing gum out loud. I didn't have to tell her to do it. She just quit. But I would just, honest to God, I would just say, let it go. Just let it go. You know, it's not important. Let it go. I love this, 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 and this. And it really, really helped. It helped. And she accepted weird things about me, you know, like it was cool. It was really, really cool. I will never forget how all that happened. And that's why when I wrote my book, I tell some of these stories, and I tell stories other people brought to me. As I was doing workshops, people would bring me their stories. And then they would talk about how they managed to work on that. Or I would give people suggestions, and then they go, yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to go do that. As long as we're open to change, instead of being focused on what's wrong with you, as long as we can focus on that we all need to change, that we're in it together, that the universe did not bring us to each other by accident, it's perfect, really. Mm-hmm. They're a part of you that you need to develop, and vice versa. They need to develop something about you.
Yeah. I want to add that, so Rebecca's going to share, if you're super curious, she's going to share how to get a hold of her at the end of the show, because she can deep dive into your specific chart and you individually. But I do want to add that my book, the second of my version of my book, Create Magic at Work, has a section on shadow work for leaders. And Rebecca, you just hit on that, like what's in me? What do I need to work on within me? That section is filled with coaching questions that you can just journal on different shadow themes and try to take a look at some of those things so you can transform, make magic, this emotional charge or these intense feelings into healing, laughter, recognizing idiosyncrasies within each other in a more humorous way. There's obviously like some deeper themes here. Like, I mean, we could really get into, which we're not in a 30-minute episode on shadow, but, you know, hate, war, racism, like think how deep this goes. So I'm just like, let's dip our toes in the water here and take a look at ourselves a little bit and see if we can't transform ourselves a little bit more. And maybe those big overwhelming themes will get chipped away at a little bit.
And I think it's important that each person understands it doesn't happen overnight. It really doesn't. It takes time and effort and patience to work through shadow work with another person. And then both people have to be willing, you know, where you sit down together and you go, yeah, I'm willing to work on this with you, and be honest. You know, being honest is being vulnerable with the other person, and that they're not going to leave. And this was an important thing that we discussed. I told her, I don't care what side of you comes out, I'm not leaving. So we had a commitment, and she agreed. She agreed because we worked really, really well together. In graphic work that we did together, we worked extremely well. So there was a lot of positives in our relationship besides the little weird idiosyncrasies getting on my nerve stuff. But it took time. It didn't happen overnight. So you have to be patient with yourself and the other person. And sometimes you're just going to explode, and then you have to start all over again. And you sit down and go, I'm sorry. And you start all over again. And you keep working at it. But as you continue to work at it, you will find, and I promise you, I promise that if each person is willing to work at it, your relationship will be the most intimate, authentic, and caring relationship that you can manifest with another individual when you're willing to do it with each other.
Yeah, I like how you referenced, like, you created safety in the beginning of the conversation. I'm not leaving. I think that's important if someone wants to approach this or have a conversation, is creating like a safety in the beginning of the conversation. So we're nearing the end of the episode, but I have to hear from you. I'm dying to say everything I want to say, but I want to hear from you what you think quantum leadership is.
I believe quantum leadership is when each person as an individual believes that we are not doing this just for ourselves. We're doing this for the entire planet. And Carl Jung really believed this in his book, The Undiscovered Self. He said, if each person would be willing to do this kind of work, because we are all connected to each other through what he called the collective unconscious, which is a rhythm of energy that's below the surface in the unconscious that is inside everyone. And we're not doing it just for ourselves so that we will be a better person. That is not what it's about. It's totally about giving ourselves to something greater than ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, you're doing it for your partner and yourself, but you're also doing it for humanity. And that's how mm-hmm. important that he believed it was.
Yeah.
He really did.
Thank you for that. And I would add to that, why are we talking about shadow work? Because to me, it's a topic that should be discussed with quantum leadership. And it's something that leaders need to take a look at and take a look at within themselves. And maybe a great start is utilizing the coaching questions in my book or reaching out to you, Rebecca. So on that note, how can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more about their personal makeup?
Well, I work with your astrological birth chart. And so using your time, date, and place of birth, you can call me for an astrological consultation on shadow work and on relationship work. If you're having a relationship trouble with your sister, with your boss, with your coworker, with your child even, this is not just for married couples. This is for every one of us. We all have relationships. And my website is shadowdance.com, and my workbook is available on Amazon, The Shadow Dance and the Astrological Seventh House Workbook. It is a workbook. You actually have to do the pen and paper work. There's questions to ask yourself, places to write notes to yourself as you're reading it, because the unconscious will work with you if you will work with it. And then you'll know that you're not alone, that you actually have what we would call the unconscious, but it is also what we would spiritually call God within, mm-hmm. inside of us.
Perfect. So we will put all of the links to get a hold of Rebecca if somebody is super getting on your nerves. Just kidding. To reach out to her, and she'll help you lift that energy a little bit. So we'll put those links in the show notes. Rebecca, thank you so much for being a guest on Create Magic at Work. I think we definitely sent some quantum transformational magic to the listeners today.
Thank you for having me.
Hey everyone, it's Amy here. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Create Magic at Work. And please come back often and subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Keep joining us for more exciting episodes where we help you transform workplace culture to systems that create less drama and stress and have high productivity and profitability. You can get your own tools for the workplace at createmagicatwork.net. I have a new Create Magic at Work, the journal, that just released. And it invites you to reflect about different themes for work and your career. Each section of the journal contains a topic, an affirmation, and two prompt questions to help you journal your thoughts. Topics are like inspiring others, mentorship, expansion, and productivity. Connect with me at createmagicatwork.net. Also connect with me on LinkedIn under Amy Lynn Durham. Sending magic to everyone, and see you next time.